You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk to an author who tells the story of three couples and their quest to live, work, and eat more simply and sustainably.
First, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released new federal guidelines for the human papillomavirus, or HPV, vaccine. The new guidelines say all children should complete the vaccine series between the ages of 9 and 13. The CDC said about 39,000 new HPV-associated cancers are diagnosed in the U.S. every year. The vaccine can prevent most of the cervical, throat, anal, and genital cancers the virus causes, but vaccination rates remain low.
Last week, the UW-Carbone Cancer Center endorsed the new recommendations. Dr. Howard Bailey joins us now to talk about this. He's director of the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Bailey, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
It seems like partly this is a recommendation change, partly an effort to boost vaccination rates. First of all, what has changed in these new guidelines?
So the main change to the guidelines is that they're supporting or recommending that when younger individuals get it, that they can get just two doses of the vaccine rather than the prior recommended three doses of the vaccine. So the main change is that, and they're just stressing a bit more. And this, and I'll explain here just quickly, the reason they're stressing the younger age is that the data and the experience shows that the immune response in a vaccine is based on creating your body's own immune response to this delivered vaccine. The immune responses are much stronger the younger a person is. So they really want to stress that. And what we've tried to stress as well, this vaccine is about preventing cancers. That's its goal. That's the main purpose behind it. And that's what we want to try and continue to extol to the public, that this is about trying to prevent cancers.
Right. So if they get it in this age 9 to 13 range, they can get away with two doses. Older kids and adults, if they get it, they would still need, if I understand this correctly, the three-dose treatment.
You are correct, Rob, that the recommendations are that especially for those 15 and over, that they still get the three-dose regimen rather than just the two doses. And the two-dose recommendation is you get a dose, and then 6 months later, you get the second dose.
Let's talk about this virus, the human papillomavirus, or HPV. From what I'm reading, a lot of people in the United States have this. A lot of people are carrying this.
That's correct. I mean, so in the the globe as a whole, there are 500,000 to 1 million cases of HPV-caused cancers each year. And in the United States, that runs into, many tens of thousands and more that happen. And to give an example for our kind of public and our community, clearly all cases of cervical cancer that women get are related and caused by this virus. What's important to note is that one of the highest increasing cancers in the United States is oral cancers, especially in young men who don't happen to smoke or drink, and that's almost always caused by HPV, this virus infection. So there is data that now says that in the next 5 to 10 years, there will be many more men or young men in our country getting oral cancer from this virus than women getting cervical cancer from it.
And this virus, it's not something like influenza where if I have it, I know I'm going to have it, it's going to make me sick right now. I'm going to have it, I'm going to carry it, maybe I'm going to spread it, and it's going to boost my risk of these different types of cancer down the road.
That is correct, Robin. So what happens with this virus, and it's very common that many people, and there are literally hundreds of types of this human papillomavirus, but then there are about 20 to 30 versions of it, if you will, that have the potential to cause cancer. And just for the audience to hear, how this virus causes cancer is that the virus gets into the cells, whether it's lining my mouth or lining a woman's cervix, and it gets in those cells, and then it basically gets involved in the DNA of the cell, and it makes the cell go bad, for lack of a better way of putting it. So the HPV virus literally causes these cancers, which is why we make such a big deal out of trying to prevent these infections, because if we prevent the infections, we will then prevent the cancers.
Talking to Dr. Howard Bailey from the UW Carbone Cancer Center about the HPV virus and the vaccine, some new guidelines out from the CDC. Let's get into the vaccine. It sounds like it is pretty effective. What are the rates of vaccination, though, in this country? How many of us are getting this?
So, again, if we look at boys and girls from 11 to 13 or 11 to 15, basically the vaccination rate varies from region to region, but it varies anywhere from lows in the 10 to 15% range to highs in some regions in the 40 to 50%. There are very small areas where they've gotten it above that, and there's many reasons why, and, you know, certainly time and expense and other things, or concerns or fears, whether valid or invalid, related to the potential side effects or toxicities of the vaccine. So globally and in the United States, the vaccine rates aren't nearly as high as we would hope them to be, because what we know is, while even if it's low, it'll prevent some of the cancers for the individuals who get it. What we also know from experience with hepatitis vaccines and other virus-associated cancers, if you can get the vaccine rate up to 70 to 80%, you have a very high chance that you can almost totally wipe away that cancer. And so that's why we're pushing it and really recommending, and we want to make sure that people have the adequate information, the guardians, the parents, to make those decisions and for their children, their loved ones. But as a cancer physician, what I can pass on to them is, there are far too many men and women dying of these cancers, and when we know there's a way to prevent that, we obviously get behind it.
As I understand it, HPV, the virus itself, can be, one of the ways it can be spread is through sexual transmission. And I remember early in the days of the HPV vaccine, anyway, that led some parents to be suspicious of it, the link between that and sexual transmission. Is this part of the issue of lower vaccination rates?
Well, it might be. I mean, other issues are cost, convenience, concerns about side effects, any number of things that people are concerned about vaccines, whether it's for rubella or, you know, any number of things. So that is part of it. The research that's been done that we, and we've written on this as well, we've never been able to show that sexual activity goes up because of the vaccine. But clearly, you know, people are going to have their opinions or beliefs in that. But what is, you know, again, what we strongly hold is that here is a way to prevent men and women from dying of these cancers. So, you know, that's why we are continuing to advocate for it.
And as far as we wrap up, as far as effectiveness and safety, does this vaccine generally work to prevent the spread of HPV? And is it safe when it comes to side effects?
Yeah, well, so the data says, in these literally many, many thousands to tens of thousands of men and women and boys and girls who have gotten it, so that if you get the vaccine before you start having any degree of sexual activity, it is nearly 100% effective at blocking that further infection and thus blocking the risk of cancer. From a safety standpoint, in the large studies where they've compared people getting it versus not getting the vaccine, there's pain at the injection site. You can get fevers from it. Beyond that, there has not been any difference between those who got what we call placebo or not getting the vaccine versus those who did. But there are reports out there, and especially in Europe and in Japan and others, of wondering about syndromes that might happen, a pain syndrome or arthritis. I've talked to people from other countries about this, and they've been reviewed both here and in other countries, and we have not been able to show that was directly caused by or associated with the vaccine. But I acknowledge to people this is an important decision, and they want to make sure they have all the facts on it. But certainly my belief is that this is a safe vaccine and that the benefits far outweigh the risk.
We have to leave it there. Thanks to Dr. Howard Bailey with the UW Carbone Cancer Center.
Stay with us here on Central Time.